Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter number 3. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. I appreciate again all the singing and sweet spirit that has prevailed in the service. What a joy to my heart be here. Amen. Thank God. Aren't you glad you can pray?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you can tell Jesus you love him?
Yes,
he loved you enough to give himself for you. And now we can just say we love him. I appreciate all that's been said in the songs. What messages sometimes we can get out of the songs if we'll listen to the words of them, how they speak to our hearts and help us so very much. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, I want to start reading at verse number 1. If you'll stand, please, while I read the word of God. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And precious word of God, it's always precious. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the precious word of God and no open vision. It was come to pass at that time when Eli was laid down, was laid in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call not, lie down again." He went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Ask God to help us here today. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to bow our heads, call you our Heavenly Father. As the choir sang the song, Lord, I'm glad we can pray. I'm thankful, God, for the privilege to come boldly throne of grace and attain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we come time for preaching, and I realize today that you have wonderfully blessed in the service, and your spirit has been present and working, and I praise you and I give you glory for that. I thank you, Lord, that your presence is real, and Lord, that praying is real, singing praises to you is real. Now, Father, we need the preaching of the word of God, and I need you to help me. Lord, I realize the fact that I can do nothing without you, but Paul said I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so I ask God for that divine strength. I pray in Jesus' name, that physically and spiritually, that touch of God be upon us, and that you help us to forget about everything else and center in on the message you have for today. I pray you challenge our hearts and stir us, and oh God, I pray that you draw us closer unto yourself and those that's in the house of God that knows not Jesus, that they may be under conviction and get saved. Those that's saved may be drawn closer. And Father, again, as we pray today, we not forget to pray for those folk in Haiti. I pray for our missionaries. I pray for the missionaries here today. I ask God to bless all of them and help them. And then, Father, we're looking, God, in the Word of God today to find that you'd have for us to have. Help us, I pray, to say what you want us to say. Preach like you want us to preach. Magnify yourself. Get glory. I confess the devil defeated. Plead Jesus. Plead the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching today on a message that I'm sure that's been preached many times and maybe different ways, different approaches to it, but that boils down to the same thing, but calls for involvement in the work of God. There's calls for involvement in the work of God. I'm thinking about Jubilee coming. I'm thinking about how we all need to get involved in what God does. Sometimes we just don't get involved and think, well, everybody else is doing this and that and the other. And when I'm saying being involved in the work of God, I'm not talking about necessarily preaching the word of God or necessarily teaching or being in public singing or whatever. I'm talking about just being involved in what God is doing in our world today. And let me report to you today that God is still working in our world. He has not gone out of business. He has not closed up shop. He is simply working as he's always worked. He's just looking for somebody that he can use and somebody that's willing to be used and be open to God, God's leadership, and God have his way in speaking to hearts. But I got to thinking about this, and I want to talk about different calls of that we are called to be involved in the work of God. Let me say we're called from above. Now, I'm going to deal with this scripture here we're talking about. And something was said to me this morning in Sunday school. It really made me think about this. Here we are. Now, Eli, you remember Eli? He just simply did not restrain his sons. They were doing things they ought not to be in the priesthood. So it got to be a mess. And God needed a man. Samuel was that man that he called to step in and take charge and do. And here we have a call for Samuel. Now, said Samuel was a child, and that doesn't necessarily mean just a little child, but young. And I don't know how old he was. I do not really know exactly his age, but as a youngster of some kind, we know his mother brought him. You remember the story about Samuel being brought there and given back to the Lord because she had prayed for him, and God had given him to her, and then she promised to bring him back, and did. And she did that. And then he was being grown up there in the around the temple with Eli. Eli was certainly missing what God wanted him to do. His sons were being ungodly. And so here in this situation comes Samuel. And Samuel did not, look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He knew about the Lord, but he did not know the Lord. There's a whole lot of people that know about the Lord, but do not know the Lord. There's a vast difference in that. And this call is from above. God called Samuel. Look at verse, now it's a personal call. Called him by name in verse 4, 6, 8, and 10. He calls him by name. And when God deals with an individual, he deals with an individual by name. He knows who you are. And when he's convicting you, he's dealing with you. And dealing in that sense, but he's persistent in it. Look at verse number 4. The Lord called Samuel. Verse 6, and the Lord called yet again Samuel. Verse number 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And then verse number 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. This time he calls his name twice. But the Lord's persistent in this. Somebody's asking me about a child and been asking questions and been wanting to know how to deal with that. And I'll be honest with you, I find it difficult sometimes to know what to say and how to deal with small children in this. All I know to tell you is this, that you just let God do his work and don't try to encourage, don't try to discourage nor push too hard for anything. If they ask a question, answer it. If they ask about being saved, explain it the best you can. But you let God do the convicting and God do the drawing and God do his work that he wants to do. You see, God didn't quit on this boy. He didn't just say Samuel and then quit. And Eli wasn't alert to it. Now, I've heard it preached and taught that Eli wasn't where he needed to be or he'd have perceived what was happening here the first time. That may be true. I don't know. I just know Eli said, go back and lay down. I don't know whether he realized that God was calling him and he was wanting Samuel to reach that point, or whether he did not know himself, was so far away from God that he didn't know. I don't know. But we better be close to God ourselves so we can know when God is dealing with our children or dealing with other people that we're dealing with. People get under conviction, and I found myself a lot of times, I like to help God out. Amen. They're under conviction. Let's get it on well. Let's get through with this thing and get saved. Amen. But that's nothing. We need to be sure that we let God do his work, and God is not going to quit when he starts convicting until that person rebels in their heart totally against God, and God will let them alone. But there is such a thing as saying no, 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 until God says that's enough, and God steps aside. But as he deals with hearts, many times people begin to get under conviction, and sometimes somebody put it like this: we want to pick an apple through green and get a profession. You know, we're anxious to get professions. And I realize we are. I love to see people make professions of faith, but I'd like to really know that they got saved. If they really get saved, if God's working on them and dealing with them, I like what Brother Mitchell said one time, and I refer to him a whole lot because I just like what he says. It sticks in my mind. He talking about one person coming to the altar one time and said, they kept coming, you know, time after time. They wasn't getting nowhere, and nothing wasn't happening. And he come by, and he just walked by him one time, one night he's there, and said, I guess you just have to go to hell. He didn't. He said, I talked to him and prayed with him, and he just kept putting it off, and he just wouldn't yield himself fully. He said, I guess all I know is you're just going to have to go to hell. And said he cried out and said, oh, no, I can't go to hell. And then he started doing business with God and got down to repentance and faith in Jesus and got saved. Now, I'm not recommending we say that to people when they come to the altar. I'm just saying but he was just spiritual enough to understand where that person was and what that person needed at that particular time. I pray that God would help me and help you to be spiritual enough that we can discern what God's doing when he's doing it and know how to handle it. Amen. And we deal with the individual souls, eternity. We're talking about heaven and hell. We're talking about forever being and living in glory or forever being lost. And so it's very difficult for us to sometimes know exactly what to do. But I have found this down through the years. And if we wait on God and don't try to do God's business, but let God do his, let's be faithful in witnessing, faithful in encouraging people, faithful in trying to get them to church, faithful in getting them on the sound of preaching, and faithful in doing praying, and faithful in letting God work in our hearts, and knowing what to say, when to say it, God will do his work. Amen. I'm glad for that, aren't you? I'm glad it's not dependent upon me to save anybody, because I can't save anybody. I'm like the preacher that met the fellow on the street one day, a preacher friend of mine up in Virginia. He said he met this fellow on the street one day, and he asked him about being, and the fellow was drunk. And he said, he asked him about being saved, and he said, yeah, you saved me. He looked at him and said, yeah, you look like one I saved. Yeah. Amen. And if the Lord saved him, he'd been different, but he's in a mess. But here, I got to get back where I was. I get on tangents, don't I? I'm running rabbit trail, but I like that rabbit trail I just run. Well, I get back to my main trail now. Here he's calling for Samuel, and Eli, whether he was spiritual or unspiritual, is beside the point right now. What I'm trying to say is God kept calling him, and God kept calling him. And then finally Eli did perceive what was going on and told him to answer, speak for the Lord, thy servant heareth. Nobody ever got saved until they're willing to let him be Lord in their life and them to be the servant. Amen. And when he got to that point, and Samuel reached that, and God kept calling him. And finally, when he answered the Lord and yielded his life, God certainly saved him and began to use him and give him the word of God. And I look at verse number 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And I pray today there'll be people in this house that will hear the Holy Spirit's voice, hear Jesus calling through that, and will come and trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. A lot of times during an invitation or during preaching, during singing, there'll be something down deep inside of a person's heart that tugs them. And they realize they need to get right with God. They know they need to get saved. They know they need something. They keep putting it off, putting it off. Let me say to you, when God's calling you, that's what was happening here. God was calling Samuel, then answer. I'm glad God still calls people to salvation. He calls for us. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to say to you, there's a call from above for people to get saved. God desires that people be saved. And that's his will to save. I want to say today, there is a call from above. And God is a creator, I've said this many times, let me say it again. He created us for his glory and to worship and adore him. And if we don't do that, we're just existing. We're not literally living. And you don't begin to live until the grace of God comes in and you're saved. And then you're living for him, magnifying him, glorifying God, worshiping God. That's living. That's living. Until that time, you're dead in sins and trespasses and don't know really what life is about. These people out here drinking liquor, living in sex perversion, doing everything under heaven, trying to find out what life is about, taking drugs and trying to get on some kind of a high. Hey, what they really need is a good dose of old-time salvation, come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and live for God. Amen. There's a call from above. God calls. And you ought to thank God today. You're sitting in the house of God, hearing singing like you've heard, hearing a man preach the gospel that you might be saved. And the gospel is that Jesus came, died, rose from the dead, and wants to save every sinner that'll come. And willing to save, wants to save. He will save. There's a call from above to be separated. Amen. And God said for us to be separated. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and he will receive. God wants us to separate from the world. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There is a call from above to be saved and to be separated. Thank God there is. I'm glad for that call of God on our lives to separate. And in this day and time, we best pay attention to that, because the world wants to suck you in and mess your life up and your testimony up in the day we live in. But I'm glad you can live for God, have joy in your heart, live for the Lord, stand for God, and go on for God. Then it's a call from above to be in the service of God. I'm talking about being involved now. I'm concerned about this involvement in the work of God. God wants us to be involved. God did not create you just to save you and take you to heaven. If God had only saved you just to keep you out of hell and take you to heaven, he'd have knocked you in the head when he saved you. Amen, that you had a heart attack and took you on out of here. Why leave you down here if that's all he saved you for, was to get you to heaven? And some folks have that idea in their mind, well, I'm saved, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven, so I can just drift along now. That's not what God said. God did save you to keep you out of hell. He did save you to take you to heaven. He did save you so you could live with him forever. But God also saved you so you could serve him and give him glory right here on this earth right now. Amen. I like that, serving him now. I like that, being involved. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, we are laborers together with God. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, to live in this world and be a laborer with God. What a joy that is. Somebody said, I'd like to work with this one or that one. I'd like to be around this one or that. We're laborers together with God right now, right here in this place. I say, praise God. What a joy that is to labor with God in this place. Let me say secondly, there's a call from within us. And I like this because I think about it. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ constrains. That word constraineth means fear and force. If you're restrained, that means you can't do something. Restrained from doing it. But when you're constrained, you're pushed on by force to do something. If you ever really get saved, now hear me well. If you ever really get saved, you want to see other people get saved. Is that not true? Yeah. If you ever really get God in your heart, you'd like for everybody to get God in their heart. It's like the 80-some-year-old man got saved, and he stood up testifying and said, I don't see why everybody don't get saved. But my goodness, he'd put it off for 80-some years. Why? But he didn't understand it before he got saved. But after he got saved, he said, I don't understand why everybody don't get saved. And I don't either. I don't understand why everybody don't want to get saved and know God and live for God and have joy in the heart and peace and have all the joy of heaven someday. I don't understand that, but people that are lost are blinded and dead and cannot see. But we that are saved, we realize the fact that we want to see others get saved. You remember over in John chapter 1, I won't take time to read it this morning, but in John chapter 1, that Andrew findeth Peter and his brother, and he brought him to Jesus, said, we found the Messiah, and brought him. You remember that story? Hallelujah. Why did Andrew do that for? What made him compelled to do that? Because he got saved himself.
And he wanted his brother to get saved, and so he went and got him and brought him. Then Philip got saved, and Philip went and found Nathanael under a fig tree. And he told him, hey, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. You know what Nathanael said? He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And here's what Philip answered him. He said, come and see. Hallelujah. That's a good message in itself. Come and see. Just come and find out. Can any good thing, there's some good thing come out of Nazareth. Jesus did. If you want to know if there's any good thing, come and see. I mean, we ought to want to get other people saved and get other people into the family of God, because that's what God wants to do. That's God's will. That's Jesus said, or the Word of God says in Philippians 2:14, I believe, or 2:15, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That is, we ought to think like he thinks. What did Jesus think about? He said, I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so if we have the mind of God, then we'll want to do what God's thinking about. And what God's thinking about is saving unsaved and wanting to get them into the family of God. Amen. There's a call from above for us to get saved and to get involved in the work of God. There's a call from within us to want to get involved in the work of God. Because we're saved, we want to see other people saved. Had people to share with me about their brothers or sisters or their mothers or daddies or families or husbands or wives, and they want to see them get saved. Sure they do. We ought to, because we're saved. We want to see others get saved. I'm saying let's get involved. What if Andrew just said, well, somebody else will tell Peter? What if Philip had said, well, Nathanael was over there, and when he said, can anything come good out of Nazareth? What if Philip just said, let him go? He don't believe anyhow, just let him go. That wasn't what he did. He kept telling him, yeah, come and see. Come and find out. And people tell us no, they'll say, I don't believe that. Just tell them, come and see. You can talk to people about Jubilee, and they'll say, what in the world are you talking about? Tell them, come and see. I've been talking to people before and trying to tell them about Jubilee, and they'll say, what is a Jubilee? And I try to tell them. I told somebody one time it was a souped-up revival. Amen. I couldn't think of what else to say. But what it is, it's God's people getting together and letting God have his way, having singing, preaching, or praising God, or praying, or just whatever God does. But it's an atmosphere that you cannot explain. It's an atmosphere you cannot tell anybody about. All you can do is tell them, come and see. They can watch it on video. They can hear it by CDs, but it's never the same. It's not like being in the service. When you can't come to church, it's good to get a CD. It's good to get a DVD. It's good to do that. But it'll never be like being in church. It's nothing like being in church. When God's around and God's in his house and the power of God moves, boy, I wouldn't want to just hear that, what I heard this morning. I'm glad I sat in there right in the midst of that atmosphere. Amen. Right in the midst of when they were singing. And Dana behind me and her, I know she's raising her hand. I saw her one time, but I'm sure when she first started, she was crying, singing, trying to do something. I couldn't even understand what she was saying. But I was getting blessed. Amen. I was getting blessed. Amen. You know what? Praise God. You know why? Because there's an atmosphere here. There's a spirit here. There's something working here that I couldn't explain. I couldn't put my finger on it. I didn't plan it. I didn't provide. I didn't make it happen. I just sat in there and God showed up. Amen. I just came and said, Lord, here I am. And God showed up and God got the blessing. And I got help and I got stirred and I got encouraged. I say, glory, hallelujah, amen. I'm glad God's here in the preaching. I'm glad God's here now. Amen. I'm enjoying him. I hope you are. God's good. And I want to be involved in this thing. I just don't want to be a spectator. I want to get involved in it. When God's a blessing, Brother Mark over here, and he gets excited. You know he gets excited sometimes. And when he does, I just don't want to watch him. Or when Sister Dana's back here and she's singing and raising her hand and crying, praising God, and God's all over her and doing so. I don't want to just be an observer of that. I want to get involved in it. I got the lift in my hand. I saw Brother Jimmy Cox over there and his wife, and they got to running over. They got to standing up and praising God. I say hallelujah. You know what they're doing? They're getting involved in the service. Amen. I want to get involved in the service, and I want to get involved in the work of God. Amen. Praise God, and the Lamb forever. I'm going to get some more here in a minute. Just hang on. We're getting there. There's a call from above. God's calling. Come get saved. God's calling for us to separate and be involved. Serve Him. Let Him. He's Lord. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. What God wants you to do this week? What's God wants you to do this week for Jubilee? What is God asking you to do? Asking you to pray a certain time for a certain length of time? Is God asking you to go see somebody? Is God asking you to really put forth an effort in something? Is God asking you to bake a pie? God asking you to help in this or help in that? What's to do anyway? Is God asking you to pray for certain preachers going to preach, that God would empower him and help him? Are you praying for singers to come? Brother Mike Hogan will be here next Sunday night, the Lord willing, and he's going to be singing and preaching, and about everybody here knows him. He needs our prayers. It's not just because a man comes in. He needs God on him. And when I preach as a preacher, I don't need to just get up here because I'm a pastor and think, well, it's going to happen just because I'm here. No, sir. It's not happening unless God's here. And somebody prays, and somebody sent word to me the other day, and I appreciated it so much, and said a certain time of night they God had moved on them to pray for me. I thank God for that. I praise God for that, because I was wrestling some things I needed God to help me with, and I appreciate God helping people to know when to pray and to pray for this preacher. This preacher needs prayer. If God doesn't move in my life, God doesn't move in my heart, God doesn't eliminate my mind, it'll not be anything happening for the glory of God. Church, we need God. Amen. Now we've got Jubilee coming up, and God from above is calling and saying, I want you involved. As from within me, they something within me calls and says, I want to be involved. Hey, something inside of me, Brother Bob, said, I want to be there. I want to get in on that. I want to see God do something, but I want to serve God. I just don't want to get the blessings. I want to serve the Lord. Now let me show you a third thing here. There's a call from without. A call from without. I want you to live with me, please, in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9 and 10. I just wanted to see these two verses, something I want to say and drive home. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach a gospel unto them. Assuredly, God had called them to preach a gospel unto them. There's a call made. They had a vision. There's a call made. Now, let me say this. Oh, I hope I can say this right. There's been a great earthquake happened in Haiti. And what I've seen of pictures on the news of that catastrophe has devastated my heart. I feel for them. My heart cries to them. But you know what they were crying? Help us. Help us. I've seen where some man was carrying a child and saying, can somebody help me? Can somebody help me? And I thought, oh, how sad to pick up a child bleeding, pull it out of rubble. One baby I heard about been under the rubble for 4 days, and they got the child out. And I thought, what a sad situation for a child, adult, much less a child, to be trapped under tons of rubble and can't get out and needing help. But that dad crying help and others crying help and toting them on stretchers and makeshift and just trying to doctor what they could, didn't have medicine and didn't have pain medicine, didn't have what they needed. Some had their limbs amputated by the fall of the concrete and steel. All that was happening to them. And you and I see that. And immediately our hearts go out. Immediately we cry. They need help. They need help. What would we do if we were there? They need help. And that cry has been going out around the world. They need help. And people have laid down what they were doing to go help. And I say, thank God for that. I rejoice for every doctor that's went. I rejoice in every food drop that's been made. They're hungry. They're thirsty for all the water that's been coming in. God for that. But you know what really bothers me? What really bothers me about all of that is that we get real concerned about it. We get real tore up about it. But yet there are millions and millions and millions of people in the world that are lost without God and going to hell and crying for help, and nobody seems to care too much about whether they go to hell or don't go to hell. We care about that bird under the rubble, and we want to get him. I'm not minimizing that. Don't get me wrong. I understand the physical part. A man cries out to help them. I know that. I would never minimize that. That's a need, a great need. But the greatest need our world has is the Lord Jesus Christ. They need that. Paul heard the Macedonia call and said they endeavored immediately to go. I want to be involved in the work of God. Have a desire. Missionary here going to Arizona. Brother Bill preaches in the prisons. We have a missionary over here, I believe from Haiti, and worked over there. So he has an identification with that and can tell you more about that than I can. But I'm telling you right now, friend, there's a need around. Those people need Jesus Christ to help them. They need hope for that. They need help. And the greatest hope that food will be good to fill their stomach. Water will be good to quench their thirst. And give them shelter to help them stay out of the rain. Thank God for all that. Some medicine to help heal them up physically. But what they really need is Jesus Christ so they can live forever. Amen. Jesus, I'd like to be involved in the work of God. Keeping people out of hell. Tell them how to live here in this life. What life is about. Why did God create you? What you're doing here, what your purpose is, and people need to know what their purpose is. You remember in Luke chapter 8, that Ethiopian eunuch was in his chariot. God told Philip, go join yourself to the chariot, and he went and joined himself. And the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah there, and Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I? How can I except some man guide me? Philip got in a chariot and led him to Jesus because he had some man. Would you be some man or some woman, some boy, some girl that will help somebody else get to Jesus? Will you get involved in the work of God? There's a call from without. There are people out here going to hell. They need help. Those people we see that look downtrodden to us and they look bad to us, they need Jesus to come along, somebody to guide them so they can get to Jesus. They're in darkness, they're blinded, they can't see where they're going. They're dead in sins, they don't understand it. They need somebody to show the light, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, talked about the harvest. He's talking about the harvest and told his disciples, lift up their eyes and look on the fields, for they're white in the harvest. He said, these folk are like sheep without a shepherd. And said that they need help. That's what he was saying. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. And that's exactly what we need to do. Involved in the work of God. How involved are you? Are you a spectator or involved in it? Are you enjoying what's happening, but are you praying and being involved, trying to be a part to see that it does happen for the glory of God? Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking but myself and God. I don't know how involved you are. I don't know where you are. Only God knows that. But while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I wonder how many people in the house could honestly say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand up high? Praise God. What a sight. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, I didn't try to look at everybody, but I wonder if there's anybody in the house today that would say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved. I'm concerned enough to raise my hand by that, say, pray for me. Anyone here like that? Anyone anywhere? Slip your hand up and say, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that. Father, I pray you take the word of God now and speak to our hearts as your children. Help us, Lord, to think about this call to be involved. You called us, God, that we must be involved. You've told us to go. You told us to share. And Father, you've made the call to us. Within us, God, within our own selves, because we're saved, we have a desire to see others. And then, Lord, those people around us that need help. I pray today, God, you speak to hearts. Draw them to Jesus. Save. Then help all of us that are saved that we might be involved in the work of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking.